time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Even if the wind doesn't blow, we're still in Manitoba, and Gordon Goldsborough is here with this week's edition of Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, I said we would consider an unusual forest near Port of La Prairie, and what's unusual about it is that it's an intact pre-settlement gallery forest called Oxbow Woods.
So what is a gallery forest as opposed to a regular run-of-the-mill forest?
Well, it relates to where you find it. It's sometimes also called a riparian forest, and it's essentially a forest that is along the bank of a river. Now, of course, here in Manitoba, there are large expanses of open prairie, but of course, we've also got lots of rivers, and that's often the only place that trees can grow, because, of course, trees need moisture, and therefore, right along the bank of the river, it's quite moist, they can grow, but they get further away from the river, not so much moisture, and then the trees disappear and are replaced by grass and other things.
So how has that changed over the years when it comes to gallery forests?
Well, of course, you think about what happened starting in the 1870s when basically European farmers began descending on Manitoba in vast numbers. They began clearing land. They needed timber. They needed lumber, for example, to build buildings. They needed wood for fuel to keep themselves warm at night and in the winter. And so they began cutting a lot of these gallery forests. And that's why, for example, you don't find very many intact gallery forests in Manitoba.
So tell us about Oxbow Woods.
Well, the name itself actually is pretty descriptive of what it looks like. If you were to go and visit it, what you would see is a forest, a collection of trees, but then it's completely surrounded on at least three of its sides by an oxbow.
Which is?
it's actually the remnants of a river. You know, if you're in Port of La Prairie, for example, you'll probably be aware of the Crescent Lake. Crescent Lake is the remains of an old oxbow of the Assiniboine River. Basically because at one time, thousands of years ago, the Assiniboine River did not flow into Winnipeg the way it does today. It actually flowed north and it flowed into Lake Manitoba. And over the years, it would cut off pieces of it to form an oxbow. So our forest, the Oxbow Woods, is surrounded on three sides by one of these oxbows, hence the name.
How easy is it to get to this forest?
Not at all. And in fact, that's the crux of why this forest is so pristine. Because in order to get into it, you would have either had to wade across the oxbow, which means you're going to get wet, on three sides. The only other way was to come in from the northeast, which meant you had to kind of go up into a sort of very marshy terrain, kind of wooded, and it was just not easy to get to. And it basically meant that the vast majority of people would say, oh, the heck with it. It's easier to go somewhere else to get my timber rather than trying to, you know, bushwhack into this particular woods. And I think that's why, of all of the pristine forests that were once here, this is perhaps one of the very last ones that is still intact, because nobody made the effort to get in and cut the trees all down.
But you made the effort to get in, did you not?
Well, I did, because some listeners may know that in addition to my interests in history, I'm also a biologist.
I know, you have a day job.
I do. And as part of my day job, I thought, you know, this is a forest that I bet you not many people know about. And these kind of forests are rare, and we should probably study this. We should find out more about it. You know, for example, what sorts of trees are in this forest? You know, how long do these trees live? You know, and how does it compare to forests in other places around Manitoba?
Now, how old is this forest? Do you get a sense of the age?
Yes. In fact, it was pretty easy, in fact, to determine how old the forest was. You can actually core the trunk of a tree. There's a device called a corer, and basically you wind it into the trunk of the tree, and it takes a thin tube of the tree trunk. Doesn't kill the tree, and you can do things like you can count the rings of the tree, and of course from that you can determine the tree's age. So in this particular case, in this forest, we found that the oldest trees, and they were oaks, by the way, some of these oaks were going back to the 1850s, which means then that this is before settlement. It means that these trees were never cut down by farmers that were looking for firewood or for lumber. So in 2000, I began a long-term monitoring project at Oxbow Woods. The first step was that I marked every tree in 1 hectare of woods. you know, which is a pretty big area, hectare.
Yeah, how long did that take you?
Weeks.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to mark each tree with a unique number. So I got these aluminum tags that had numbers stamped into them, and I would nail that tag into the trunk of the tree just about chest high. Every tree had a different number. And then once I had all the trees numbered, I then determined all of their coordinates. Where was the tree located relative to all its neighbors? So I could basically draw a little map showing where all the trees were. And then I identified what each tree was, what species it was. And then I determined the size of the tree by basically measuring the diameter of the tree at my tag. And the idea was that, of course, as the tree grew, it would get bigger in diameter. And that measurement of diameter would give me an indication of the size of the tree, the age of the tree, and how fast it was growing. So the way this works is that every 5 years, I go back into Oxbow Woods and I go to every single tree, and I've got a tape measure, and I wrap it around the tree, measure its diameter, and then record that number. I go back and compare it to what it was 5 years before, and I can say, see, this is how much it's grown. Or in some cases, they've died, and therefore I can say, sometime within the last 5 years, that tree died.
So how many times have you done this so far?
Well, so far I've done it 4 times. So I started in 2000 to 2005 to 2010. The most recent time was 2015. And that means, of course, that I'll be doing it again in 2 years, in 2020.
Why did you want to do this project?
Well, I think partly because of the rarity of this forest, partly because I'm so interested in history. In this case, I wanted to know the history of this forest. I was curious to know, for example, how long do these trees live? I mean, it's a fairly harsh environment. You know, it's near water. You know, sometime in the old days when it was a river, before it was an oxbow, these trees might have been flooded, you know, and flooding still happens to a degree. So, for example, during this study, during this monitoring, there was a catastrophic flood that occurred in 2011. What they say is a 1 in 300 or a 1 in 400 year event. You know, how did the trees respond? I mean, they were basically all underwater. And in fact, when I went back after that flood in 2011, when I went back in 2015, I fully expected to see nothing but dead trees as far as the eye could see. I thought they would have all died. And I was really, in fact, surprised to find that no, in fact, the rate of death was variable, that some species had died and others would come through it quite nicely, in fact.
So did you get a sense of which species were more susceptible to this?
Absolutely. So, for example, poplars, which is a fairly common tree here in Manitoba, they represented about a third of all the trees in that plot, but they were disproportionately wiped out by the flood. So, in fact, about 80% of the poplars were dead. You know, they had died as a result of that flood. On the other hand, the oaks, these really, you know, solid, tough trees, only 7% of them had died. So clearly there was a very marked difference. Overall, about 45% of the trees had died. So disproportionately poplars than other things. So I'm really curious to know then, what is it about certain trees that make some of them long-lived and some of them not being able to tolerate this flood? So this is the kind of thing that you can only do when you do these long-term studies, is to get this sort of information. And say it's been going on now for almost 20 years. And I'm hoping, if I live long enough, that I can see it going on for many more years.
I love that you combined these two aspects of your interest into this week's segment.
Yeah, history meets science.
Gordon, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome.
What's up for next week?
Well, we're going to discuss a type of building that is increasingly rare in Manitoba, and I anticipate that not too long from now, there will be none left.
None left, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You know there's a pun in there somewhere. Gordon, thanks so much for this.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many